you pens and papers if you want to take some notes, because we're going to continue in our teaching we've been in with the gifts of the Spirit this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. All right, and that's not one of my gifts, okay? I do have a little rhythm for a white boy. I don't know. All right. Well, hope everybody has
already felt the presence of the Lord. I have, because guess what? You brought him this morning.
Yes, right.
Yes. How many brought know that you brought the Lord this morning? If you're a born-again believer and he lives in your heart, you brought him. And don't let me forget, I got prayer requests from the jail. We're going to pray over those today, too.
I said, if you didn't bring him, you could leave with him.
That's right. Exactly right. That's why, good point. And I hope if you, there we go. Let there be light, he said.
And there was.
And the blind man said, amen. So, but, yeah, we're, I'm excited about what God's doing here in some folks. And I know some folks are under attack because there's a lot of empty seats and I don't see them this morning. But I also know that because he's been attacking me.
Amen. Come on.
You know what? Life is challenging in itself. But when the enemy comes, he really does not like for this stuff to happen. When people start learning about their gifts, their talents, their anointing, and what God is doing or can do in their life. And so I know we're in the right place and where God's leading in our small church and what God's doing in the people here. We heard testimony even Tuesday night of some of that. You know, some testimonials of what God's doing and moving some people out in their faith. But I heard, I apologize last week, you know, I was sick, and I heard y'all had a really good message, and God spoke, and so I'm excited that even when the pastor isn't here or whatnot, that God is still, excuse me, I need to do something with the camera, it gets in my way. God's already using some of the body here. Okay, so, we've been going through these gifts, and somebody tell me if you can remember the first portion of the, where do we start at with the gifts, first of all? There's only one more place that we can, some of you have been here, where is the gifts, the first gift we need to experience is what?
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. Exactly. We understand that these gifts are not gifts that were natural. Okay? They're gifts, supernatural gifts. And so that's what we have to understand. He is the gift that you need most. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about what we call the revelational gifts. And now we're in the utterance gifts. And we talked about the gifts of tongues last week, interpretations of tongues. Now, excuse me, does anybody have any questions or anything about last week that, and listen, I'm not going to just preach. I want us to all, you know, be open and we'll talk and minister one to another. Anything that, tell me something that stood out last week. I'm not sure exactly that. Got the chance to listen to what all the message, but what stood out to someone last week?
It was all the Word of God. Penny spoke completely out of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Three chapters, 12, 13, and 14. It was first for all the Word of God. None of Penny, all of God.
Very good. Now, by now, and some of you might not know or be there yet, but where are we studying these gifts? First Corinthians, that's right, 12. And you'll start seeing, if you got your Bibles, look over there. And if you look through Paul's teaching in Corinthians, it starts in 12, the use of the spiritual gifts. before that, it was a Christian order in chapter 11. You see Paul in there, and he also even has the Lord's Supper in 11, and then it goes right into the use of the spiritual gifts now. And so that's kind of where we've been in a lot of these things. And the first verse says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Now, just that word, being unaware, how many know that the church is really unaware a lot of what the gifts are? I mean, yeah, you hear certain things about the gifts, but being unaware is, what does that mean? Somebody tell me what.
Ignorant.
Some translate says ignorant.
And
that's right.
Ignorant just means unlearned.
Unlearned. There you go. It's not talking down. Or someone. But so that is why we're here, and really understanding these gifts are important in your walk with God, in your ministries that you'll have, or whatever it is in your life. So, but Paul starts right off, and he says you're unaware. You know that when you were pagans, which unbelievers, right? You were led astray, the dumb idols. However, you were led. In other words, people are being led all over the place, and if they really don't function and work in these gifts in their life, a lot of times they're going to be led by. And today we're going to be talking about prophecy. So, what is one of the things that people are led astray with? False prophecies.
Yes.
False prophets. They're out there. They're real. They're doing it in the name of Jesus, a lot of them. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. So anyway, and then you see in 13, it says, this is a key scripture, 12:13, "For by one Spirit," now listen to this, "we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Okay, now, so you see right here, this isn't talking about baptism of water, right? You can't, unless you hold your mouth open and you're being baptized.
Right?
Right? This is talking about drinking, meaning of the Spirit. It's like a, what's the word? The Spirit is Rhema.
Pneuma,
yeah. And that word Spirit. And so we got to understand that. So what I want to start with before we get into prophecy, last week in tongues, you're like, wow, why some people like may freak out about this stuff. But can I tell you, it's part of the Word of God. It is part of what you need to understand. It's not freaky. It's not something you should freak out about because you never know. The one thing is, the reason you're there is because you probably hadn't been taught like this, what Paul said. You hadn't really, we're ignorant in a lot of ways. I was brought up in a church at a young age that they didn't talk about this stuff, okay? And they believed that died out. Okay, that died out, which is so far from the truth. And there's no way to actually document or believe what they're saying. Yeah, I've seen if I can do it.
We have river members who talk about last week's sermon to someone else. And the response was, there's no such thing as tongues. You know, that's just somebody making something up. And it's not of God. And so the person sent them, all I did was show the scriptures, sent a picture of the scripture. And they still said no. And there's no such thing as tongues of angels. It's just foreign languages. But it says in there are different kinds of tongues. Not different tongues, different kinds. And he even says, Paul says, tongues of men and angels. There are some to be done publicly, some to be privately, some to be, interpreted, some that are just for edification of yourself. But there will always be some people who have come up with their own doctrine, their own theology, that only has to do with what they've seen and experienced. If they have never seen or experienced it, they just arbitrarily write it out of the scriptures. So when someone comes and talks to you
about anything of the gift of spirit or anything else, say, please show me in the scripture. Because everything we talked about yesterday was, I mean, last week was straight from the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust what anyone else says unless they can point it out in the Bible. And that it is also in the Bible multiple times. The other thing was, it comes within the Bible just once. In one obscure place. But maybe I'd be a little bit wary of it. But it happens in Acts. It happens here. It talks about it in Corinthians. And Paul says, I want you to do it. I speak in tongues more than all of you. Okay? But it also says there, everybody doesn't have it. Okay? So the point is, we go by what the Word of God says. Thank you.
Amen. Very good. And so, yeah, so, you know, it's not to freak anyone out. It's for the edification. It's for building up. We're going to talk about that today in prophecy also. And speaking in tongues is a supernatural utterance that is given by the power of the Holy Spirit through the human voice without help from any conscious mind. Now, what it is that our conscious mind can't comprehend certain things, okay? They're unexplainable. It's this, that. So we will set our thoughts and our mind on what we have been or heard or somebody said from the... Okay, so again, going all the way back where we started, I pray this morning that you will be open and that you will be able to receive. And if you don't, and I always like to share this, if you don't understand something, just put it up on the shelf right now. And review it later. Dig into the Word. Don't trust me or what I say. Trust what God says, okay? So before we go any further, I want to do something. How many, you may deal with anxiety, okay? Feel a little anxious or anything? What we're going to do, we're going to breathe. I want you to just close your eyes. This is a way of getting past stress, anxiety, and stuff. The simplest thing you can do, anybody can do. And I want you to take 8 deep breaths through your nose, 1 big one, hold it for a second, and then let it out. Okay? Everybody do that. Heavenly Father, now I pray right now in the same relaxed mind everyone in this room can hear from heaven. Not just from me or anyone who shares, but straight from your throne. Help us understand you want to communicate with us. Help us understand that you desire us to have the gifts. Let us be open. Our minds be cleared right now so that we might receive. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, manifest your anointing. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many feel relaxed? Yeah. Go to sleep. Okay. Listen, anybody can do that any time of day. Practice morning and evening doing that. The day will go better. So let's talk about gifts, the gift of prophecy today. And we're going to concentrate on, this is the third gift of the Spirit of utterance that we've been in. And that's the gift of prophecy. What does the word prophecy mean? Anybody? Okay, tell, proclaim. Anybody else? The gift of prophecy is the ability to communicate a message from God to the church, a gathering or an individual through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pretty simple definition, right? And it's the gift of prophecy is the ability to communicate a message from God to the church, a gathering people, right? Are individuals through the power of the Holy Spirit. I always got to remember, this takes man out of the picture, okay? It is from God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It originates from God, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, it passes to the believer. And I emphasize on that word believer, who then passes it to what? Church. You have to be a believer, first of all, to get the gifts. You have to be a believer to have the key ingredient, Spirit, Holy Spirit. So, the message is of God, but the language, the vocabulary, and the voices of the believer. Y'all get that and make sense? Because everybody talks different. And y'all know, old country boy Ronnie, when I prophesied, guess what? I prophesied in country. I'm not from England, and I'm not prophesied in King James, okay? We were talking briefly about that this morning, about different translations and Bibles and all. So, now, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? I'm not going to pick on anybody that says, thus saith the Lord, and thus thou and thee, and all that stuff. It happens. It happens, and that's not, but that don't mean it's not of God, okay? So don't get me wrong on that. All right, some people are different in levels of their prophecy, and it can be, it's still their tongue, though. Okay, you get me on that? Alright, so the word used in the Old Testament to describe the ministry of prophet is Naba, N-A-B-A, meaning bubble up, that's what it, Naba. In the New Testament, the word is prophetia.
P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-I-A,
prophetia. Meaning, that's pretty good for an old country boy right there. I mean, Penny's going, wow. Smiling, you know. Usually she's like, all right, wow. Yeah, you know, country boy.
Yeah, you are.
He worked real hard on that.
Yeah. No, the Spirit did. I couldn't even say it last night. All right, meaning to speak, that means meaning to speak forth. I heard that word. Penny's looked at my notes now. Or bubble up the mind of God. So New Testament, that's what it means. Get that? In the process, the prophet must always yield to the Holy Spirit to relay the message. He must, big letters, do it willingly by what? Faith.
Yes.
Faith cometh by what?
Hearing
by the word of God. I can just go off and preach right there and just stop. You have to understand the hearing God. That's the key, you know. It's because the prophet, that's what he did in old and new, okay? And then it bubbled up inside of him. Woo, I like that. Naba. He bubbled up, and then it what? It comes forth. In the New Testament, it comes forth through who? And how did it come from there? First, through Christ. You get that? It come forth through Christ, and then when he died and rose again, he says, it's expedient that I go away so that me and the Father, I'm going to add a little pair, send another, right? And that is, he is Holy Spirit. Ain't that awesome how God works and how he loves us? So, but you must be, it has to be done by faith. And so, first of all, let's talk about distinction between prophecy and preaching real quickly. There's a great distinction between prophecy and preaching, and though some people or scholars think that it's the same thing, it's not. It's not the same thing, okay? Preaching means proclaim, okay? proclaim and to tell forth, to evangelize, to witness, or establish the good news. All right. Now, while one can do this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, his reasoning and intellect is wholly involved. So there's actually some intellect involved in preaching and proclaiming and that kind of thing. Okay, so, but prophecy now, however, is the message of the Holy Spirit. It's not of man, okay? It comes, this is why it gets so twisted up in the body of Christ. Because it's to some, it's out there. It's just, and so, however, the message of the Holy Spirit having nothing to do with intellect or reasoning. It's not prepared or predetermined. It comes directly from the Spirit of God, from Almighty God. And so a prophetic utterance is supernatural. All right, it's the only part man plays in the will is the willingness to speak of the Spirit, being willing to be the vessel to and direct the Spirit directs it, but the man is the willing vessel. Okay, and next, the benefits of prophecy. Let's talk about those. Number one, it's for these three things. Okay. And I'm going to break each one down. It's for edification. You're taking notes. Exhortation and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. You notice that in 12 you have... it talks about the beginning of the gifts and all these gifts, the manifestation, and all these things we've been studying in 12, and back up a little, varieties of ministries in verse 12, 4. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's in verse 7, 12 and 7. You see that? And then it goes into what we've been studying, like the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. And those were the revelational gifts, okay? To another, the edifying of the miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of the spirits and the variety kinds of tongues. And so you'll see these, and you can study those and go back. I don't want to, for lack of time, but in 14, Paul starts talking about prophecy as a superior gift. And so you see here, I'm going to read 1 through 3 real quick. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Why do you think he says that?
Because he just spent an entire chapter talking about how love is the best
13. Way. Yep, you looked before. It talks about the excellence of love. And love is, because that's what Christ said, right? He summed it up in the two commandments with one word, love, right? So here's Paul, and then he splits 12 and 14 in with love. Because if you have love, you have nothing, he says. If you have none of these things, all these things, and have love, you have nothing.
There's the
other way around.
If you have all these things but don't have love, you have nothing.
Yeah. And so he said, I speak with tongues of men and have angels, but if you do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging king cymbal. It's useless. It rings out and then it's what? It's gone. But think about love. Well, I could go there, but I'm not going to. Love never gives up. It doesn't just a sounding gong. It's something that's lasting forever. But in 14 it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And for one understands in his spirit, that's a little s, he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, what? Exhortation, and consolation, which is comfort. Okay? One who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but one who prophesies what?
Edifies the church.
Edifies the church. So, edification means to build up the believer, strengthen him, develop him spiritually. Somebody give me a good example of when this or could be important. Who do you think this could be important? Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Edification, when can this be important?
Unite people, 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 people
opening of your message, you talked about all in one on that scripture that I believe. Mm-hmm. That's what my first thought was.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else? So, very good, Paul. Very good, Debbie. One, when someone is may have grown up spiritually, okay, and then they become cold. Anybody know anybody like that? They're kind of cold, and or they're backslidden or whatever. You can become cold in church. Come on, let's be real. Yeah. Paul's right on the nail head there. You can, the church itself can become stagnant. And you know there's just something missing that needs to happen. Nobody knows what to do, right? You know, there's kind of something just like, everybody's just going and there's no spirit.
Up in a rut.
Yeah.
It's just for the pastor and the elders and stuff to do it, but if they're not really
in line of what God
wants them to do, they're going to fall out and people are getting, Jeremiah 10, 21, it says basically that the pastors have become rootless and their flocks have fallen away and they're...
That's a good point.
They don't follow with God they're not going after their flock, they're going after their own self and their interests, and you can see that
evangelists,
you see it in churches today that are just, they're not even sheep, they're just goats. Coming in and being led to slaughter because they're getting fed the wrong way.
Mm.
They're not getting fed properly.
That's a good point. Very good point. And we all see that. I mean, there's some reasons behind different things in ministry. What's the other side of the spectrum since we're there, though? We got to think about this because is it the pastor's place to always feed you?
No.
Is it the pastor's place to always get everything right? Nope. So, yeah, you're right. But we also got to look at the fact that this is what we're learning here. This is what we need to learn because it's an edification of the body. And so if no one's really functioning and actually getting off their rumpus, can I use that word? To get out and really start doing things, get out and evangelize, get out and share the good news, then guess what? The pastor can fall in a rut. And so you've got to understand, you know, some people, they can grow spiritually cold and have some special need. The prophecy will help to build that up. It'll help them. And it can cause dryness to disappear, you know. It can cause a heavy spirit, like we're talking about, it just to be lifted, you know, and it can destroy the work of the devil. Can I tell you, the devil's in the church? he may be sitting, you know, over the, not in here.
No.
Okay, but you know, he might be sitting over there somewhere or whatever. He is always at work, and But it can rekindle the fire inside of the believer, the one that's grown cold, the one that's grown stagnant. It can rekindle even the pastor, the leaders in the church get excited when he sees, when I get excited when I see you guys start moving in the Spirit and start moving into your calling and your anointing and that kind of stuff. You're like, whoa, praise God. That's what it's about, okay? So prophecy can edify. And the next one, exhortation, it means to stir up or bring close to the Lord. It can be called to consecration or be steadfast and faithful. And so the next one is comfort. This means to cheer up. It can be used to cheer some people up that might be down. Isaiah 41, 10.
Isaiah
41, 10? Yeah. One may be going through a rough time. Anybody know what I mean? And a word of prophecy can lift them up. You know? It's like, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes, you're like, where are you at, Lord? You know? I prayed and I've done these things. And
it's underlined all the way down in my Bible.
Okay. Read that for us then.
All right. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea. I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And verse 11 to 13 says, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Ooh. They shall be as nothing. As they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught.
Yes.
For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
Very good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He'll help us. He'll send a word. He'll send a prophetic word for us. So, you know, and the second thing, it's a sign to the believer, unbeliever, and the unlearned. We think about it now, it's not just for the believer. It can be for the unbeliever and the unlearned today. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25 tells us an example here, and I'll read it for lack of time, but if all prophesy in unbelief, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secret of his heart are disclosed. I mean, it opens up his heart, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. There's nothing like having you mail read, as I call it. You ever been there, anybody?
Skeletons in the closet explode.
Whoa.
Yes.
You know, and you're the only one that knows this, that that word just come for me. And no one but the Lord himself knew that. And God will do that. He will do that for you.
There's nothing hidden that won't be brought to light.
That's right. That's exactly right. What is the outcome, brother, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm and has teachings and revelation, has a tongue and interpretation. Let all things be done for edification, it says the next line. In the Old Testament, the prophets were also I skipped a little bit here. Yeah, a prophet is God's mouthpiece or a spokesman. Acts 13, 1 and 2. You can look that up. He can be used by God to tell forth the mind of God, which may include any of these warnings of events, reproof, edification, or exhortation. A prophet can foretell the future. He may predict like Amos. Amos 3, 7, and 8. There's a scripture. You can jot these down as you go and look back over them for lack of time. Or Agabus. Anybody remember Agabus? He's in the book of Acts 21, 10, and 11. And I'll bring him up again in a minute. But our John. Who was John? What happened with John? John is called the Revelator. What did he do? He wrote Revelation. So here's a sign of God for the future through the prophet John. John prophesied.
Only disciple that didn't die a horrible death.
Mm.
He just got exiled.
He just got
exiled. Yeah, he got kicked out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some might have thought that was worse. Who knows?
Didn't Jesus
isolation
say,
is something
else. Didn't Jesus say a prophet isn't welcome in his own town?
Oh, that was in a context of making a point. Okay.
Know too much about you is what he was saying. Too much of, you know.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And
it's
yeah.
Applicable.
Yep.
Yeah, and, yeah, that was Jesus talking about how no one was going to listen to him because
They still called him rabbi.
Okay.
Like people who know Ronnie before Christ still relate him to his past life.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say snake.
If he's a preacher, the woods full of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the old saying.
Okay.
And so, but there come a time, though, when Jesus said on that same kind of, go through Samaria, but there was he detoured around that area, and so there's a time and place for, and Jesus knew that. So there's a lot in that, and that's a whole other sermon, but it's good stuff. All right, so is the gift of prophecy needed today?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Is it needed
more
today? Unfortunately, some people thinking it, and not only some people, we're talking about scholars. We're talking about people who teach college and, it's kind of sad that we can throw that part out. And we see people struggling and people needing to be edified, lifted up, and all these things. So, very important. The prophet Joel prophesied that the gift would operate in our days. Okay? Now, this blows the thing out of the water about it died out. Joel 2:28, if you want to look that up. He said that. Confirmation in the book of Acts 2:16 and 18. In the book of 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, it says that prophecy will function until that which is perfect is come.
What was that, 1 Corinthians
13, 8 through 13. Now, what does that mean, until perfect has come? See, where they get twisted up, they try to put Jesus in that, but yet, huh?
Yeah, they think the Bible.
Well, yeah, but he hadn't come, what he's talking about is coming back.
That's right.
Okay? When perfection happens, he comes back. And he will reign. He will take, he ain't coming back as the Lamb. Okay? He's coming back as the King of Kings, the Lion, of the tribe of Judah. He will come back with authority, riding a white horse, but he will be that one of perfection. And there will be a reckoning for all those who... Well, I could preach a little bit on all that, but let me keep going. We also find that Paul's exhortation to the church not to quench the Spirit. What does that mean? Quench the Spirit.
Not to hold it back.
Not to hold it back. That's right. Or despise prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20. If you want to write that down. Don't take my word. Look it up. Okay? Sensing the prophetic anointing real quickly. Got 10 minutes and we're going to be done. Get you out of here in time. A person only prophesies when they sense the Holy Spirit is leading them to do so. They will sense or discern, okay, the anointing of the Holy Spirit stirring up their spirit. Little S, their heart. They'll be stirred up, okay? And the anointing will always increase as a person is being led by the Holy Spirit as they pray or worship God. You ever get in that circumstance? You felt it even in here probably a while ago. We're worshiping, and then the Spirit comes and he's, it's like, woo, it just takes up, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes they might feel, you might feel a heavy burden in the spirit, okay? You just burden down and the burden will be lifted after the obedience of the prophecy, after you do it. Now, these are uncomfortable things as you begin to function and walk in your gifts that you'll actually feel. Okay? But remember, it's not feelings and emotions, is it? What is it?
Faith.
Faith. There you go. It's faith and it's trusting God that He is speaking to you and He wants to speak through you. Got that? And so, no, one has to, this is a note, be sensitive. You have to be sensitive. Though when the anointing is, and know when the anointing has lifted. Okay, now if God begins to function you in prophetic, you have to be sensitive to know that when He's through, He's through. You don't keep trying to make it come out. And make something happen. A lot that happens a lot. That's and listen, don't judge anybody if that happens. Okay, they're trying. They're getting out there. It's okay. God knows that. It's okay with God. But you know, when it gets out of line, it's the pastor, it's the leaders that has to kind of pull it back or do whatever they have to do to deal with it. And that needs to happen, just like interpretations of tongues. Where you went to the end of the last week about. Same thing in prophecy. Alright? So there's order. There's always order. But you can't try to make something happen when it's not. It'll come in, it'll come out as what? It's all flesh. And the enemy will have his way with that. He will. It will destroy what God's word originated from even. And it could have started out. So don't try to force it and keep making something come out. Our inner spiritual ears, what does spiritual ear mean?
The ability to hear the Spirit.
Okay. Are made sensitive. They are capable of hearing God's voice as we read God's Word, as we get closer to God. It says in the Bible, if we get close to God, He what? He gets, He draws near to us. He, when we draw near to Him. So you that's something that maturing as a saint. It's a maturing. And so the language does that also. The more you step out in faith and you begin in that. Being able to hear the voice of God through the power of the Holy Spirit will eliminate fear of what people think. You know, one of the things that's the hardest part of prophesying is actually just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting started. And as you get into this, you'll start feeling like, wow, you know, I feel like I got a word or something. The enemy will come and think, no, that's you. That's you. He'll lie. He's always a deception and deception. You got to learn to recognize him. But fear is the one thing that keeps this out of the body of Christ, whether it's tongues, whether it's prophecy or in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all these gifts we're talking about. And fear is an underlying thing, a spirit. It's a spirit, okay? You know that, and it's a little S. There's only one big S spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. But fear will keep, it's a spirit attached to it. It's not of God. Fear is not of God. It said He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Love,
power,
and a sound mind. What is the power? Holy Spirit. What is love? Jesus, man. He was love, right? Love, joy. Yeah, all the fruit of the Spirit, all this comes. Okay, but a sound mind. So don't let the enemy tell you you're always going to be this or that. Don't let the enemy tell you you'll never be able to quit that addiction. Don't let the enemy tell you these things. He is a liar, and he come to kill, to steal, and destroy. And you have to recognize him for who he is. And he's always going to come here. The battle is always in your mind. Amen?
Amen.
How the gift of prophecy operates. I've got 5 minutes. I think somebody sped that clock up.
It is 5 minutes.
Ah, I knew it. Y'all wanted to pass to quit preaching so long.
You did.
How the gift of prophecy operates, real quickly. First thing, you may receive a message while in meditation on the scripture. Now, I've had this happen several times, okay? God speaks to me. Now, for me, I write it down. I have to because I'm a fool. Like, I was talking to John's daddy yesterday. The older I get, and he's like, squirrel, you know the movie? Right, I'm getting there. And so I have to write it down. You know, you get busy. Because by the time, if God, he may say, well, take that message and give it to the pastor, it's for the church. Then the pastor knows by the Spirit knows the Spirit, that it's from God. Or it may be not from God, I don't know. And if he is a Spirit-filled pastor, he'll know. Okay. And it'll come out. But if you forget it, and then you go up there and you try to bring it forth or let it bubble out again, it may not bubble out right? It may come out and boom. Right. So it's important if he speaks through the word while you're meditating or whatever, then write it down. It's good. And second thing, you're encouraged by the word to eagerly desire the gifts. We just read that, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 19. You may receive a prophecy while in prayer. Acts 2, 17 through 18. Y'all know where that was, right? And then Acts 13 and 2. There's two places. When you want the Lord to use you in this gift, you should be in right standing with God and have an attitude of prayer. Excuse me, and be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to function in this gift if you're not in right standing with God. God doesn't work that way. He wants us to be in a true heart of repentance and in right standing. So you got to understand that. And you may feel an anointing or tingling or physical sensation. Ooh, what is that? Goosebumps. I don't know. All of the above. But there'll be a witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit to speak it out. So then the faith comes in. It's time. Okay? And the Lord does not always speak in the same manner. I like this when I was studying this. And he may and may not speak, and again, the King James, we need to be led by the purity and influence of the Holy Spirit. Unless you have a witness in your spirit, don't feel compelled to speak it.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Because it can do damage.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that to scare anybody to not try to speak in faith, but you got to understand there is a balance. There is, you know, and the more, again, going all the way back, keys the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit may only give you a few words, and those are to be spoken in faith, and that could be, but sometimes it could be many words. It could be a paragraph. It could be a page. Whatever God wants to do. But you got to understand, the more you use the gift and you're around others that actually you are in with the gifts and things, it can almost kind of be like a second nature. It really can.
What if we function in all the gifts, really? And if things, that's what it's about, the body. It's why he talks, even Paul brings it up again in here. The left hand doing what the right hand does, the legs and arms and everything, and all the body and all the parts. What if that would happen? We would see revival. We would see people running to God when things start happening. You start speaking into Billy Bob's life, and he knows that he is the only one that knows this certain situation, and you walk up to him and say, "The Lord told me," and it's like, "Whoo! Wait a minute." That's what I'm talking about. There's miracles. There's things can happen in the body of Christ. There's things that God wants to happen. There's a reason why Jesus said, "And greater things shall you see."
Because, see, it meant that the Holy Spirit, He would be coming. Jesus couldn't be over in Sixes in Holly Springs, Georgia. He was a Jew. He was a Jew from Israel. So He knew that He was going to send you and you and you and you and you, and He was going to call you out of the darkness. He's going to bring you in the light, and He was going to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you could get the message of the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying world that needs to hear that He loves them. Amen. So you've got to understand, this is important stuff. It's not something like a boo factor, ooh, scary, ooey, Holy Ghost kind of thing. It's Holy Spirit power from on high. When you can stand up and an old country boy like me could get up in front of somebody and tell them Jesus loves them, who couldn't even, you know, finish 10th grade because he was so self-centered. But God said, I had a plan, Bug. He said, I got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for you, Trella, amen, Debbie, everyone, you in this place today. He's got a plan and a purpose, and He wants to accomplish His kingdom purpose. It's all about Him and His kingdom. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. And I'm out of time, but I'm telling you, God, if He wants to prophesy, guess what? And I'll bring up the scripture next week. He'll speak through a donkey.
That's right.
Not only y'all say, what? Yeah, look it up. Balaam. I'll give you scripture next week if you want it. I got to go, but I'm telling you, I'm excited what God wants to do in your life. And I'm excited that what God wants to see for His kingdom. Hearing about miracles and things, people being healed. These are meant because, you know why? You know why oil's coming out of, seeping out of a Bible? Because God wants it to.
Yeah.
Y'all may not have heard that. It's a miracle happening. There's miracles out there everywhere happening.
Yes.
But yet we're in this little fine bubble of a world, and God says, I want to bubble up Nava. He wants to use this gift and that gift and everything in the arsenal that He has. We're in a battle. Paul said it. He told Timothy on his last letter to Timothy. It's a war. We're in a battle.
Yeah.
It's a race. We're not promised tomorrow.
That's right.
It's right now. Come on, guys. Get it. God wants you to get it. He desires that you get it. He wants you to have it. You're a king's kid. Act like it. Come on. You're a king's kid. Brother, you know that? You're a king's kid. The devil will tell you, you're worthless. You'll never amount to nothing. God says, no. That prodigal, all he has to do is turn around. Guess what? God says, I'll put the robe on him. I'll put the ring on his finger. I'll make him the king's kid. Not only that, I'm going to kill the fatted calf. Most important thing they had, they worked all winter to feed and fatten that thing up for the special time.
Okay.
You're that special person. You're that special occasion.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to encourage you today. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're where you are in your walk with God, and there's a reason why you may have stumbled and fell, just like I was. But ain't you glad God is no respecter of person? He says that He takes the foolish things of the world, thank God. Wild hair and all. The snake that used to be the worst of the worst. And He says, I got a plan. Let's bow our heads. God, today, I thank You, Lord, for Your anointing that destroys the yoke, that destroys the bondage of the enemy that would cause anybody in this room to doubt your love, cause anyone in this room to consider anything but what a king's child deserves. Let's use that word. And today, Father, may everyone that leaves here today feel special. May they desire all the fruit of the Spirit. May they desire these gifts that, Lord, that you offer. And God, we need them. Everyone in this room needs edification, needs exhortation, and be comforted and know it. That God, there's a functioning body here at Ministry House and in this world, in the church as we know it. God, be glorified. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless everyone here today. If there's anyone here today, if you're not right with God, every head down, I'll do open every head up usually, but we're bowed down right now. If you're here today and you're bowed down before the Lord with your head, and you know you need to get some stuff right, would you do that? Would you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I need you. I repent. That's the first thing. Repent of your sins. Then place your faith back in Him. Take it off yourself. And then surrender to Him as Lord. Anybody in this room today, if you're there, just do that, would you? Right now, where you're at, if you've never experienced that, it's freedom. Invite Him into your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I need you. Gotta have you. Don't let the enemy, if you've messed up, don't let him back you up, okay? Right now, for somebody, I don't know who it is, somebody needs to say, I can, I will, I am. Those words. Because of Him. Today you can be blessed. And Lord, I pray over everyone and every prayer right now. And I thank you, God. We're forgiven. And Lord, I pray that you would bless everyone that sows into this ministry. I'm believing God for building the next building beside over here. We move forward this year and we claim it. We thank you, God, for those that sow their seed. May this be fertile ground, not only for these men and women here, but even for their children and the children to come. And God, we thank you for that. Now bless their homes, bless their finances, bless them and their hearts as they give and their tithes and offering. And Lord, as they give it to the kingdom purpose today. I pray over these men here and every prayer request from the Cherokee County Adult Detention Center, that these men and everyone in this room would join our faith and pray over them and ask you to meet their needs according to your riches and glory. God, open doors where doors are slammed in their face. They're incarcerated and their families are even in need. But today, Lord, make yourself real to them, and we thank you for doing that today. And we give you all honor and praise and thanks. Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.